Let's start with Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, where the word of the Lord says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Paul is saying, we can want things and we can need things. And his attitude is I don't want everybody to ever think that all I do is just want something. Because he said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Oh, pastor's dream come true. And I'll tell you something else. It's a family unit's dream come true. It is a business and corporation dream come true. I ought to hire myself out and speak this to businesses. Amen. Because it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, or what you are, if we could ever learn to be content, wouldn't that be a beautiful place? He said, "Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry." Amen. "Both to abound and to suffer need." In other words, I feel tonight I am rich with the blessings of God. I'm not going physical, but I'm going spiritual. I feel I'm rich with the blessings of God. Listen, it's a very fortunate thing to know truth. It's a very fortunate thing to know the plan of salvation. Do you realize how blessed we are? And yet, I stand here tonight so blessed, but knowing in my mind, I need more of God. So even in the time of need, we can be content. And then he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, what would make a man say, "I can do all things through Christ"? Because Christ has chosen to do all things through us. I'm just telling you, let me tell you in a country way, if it's going to get did, we're the ones that have to do it. And we know what needs to get done. And so here we are tonight, the ones that can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Praise God. Amen. I just want to talk about the state of contentment. Very basic, very simple Bible study tonight, but I want to talk about this. Now, pay close attention, because I'm going to go back and forth and over and around, and I'm going to play with the word state, but you'll know what I'm talking about. Amen. But right now, I certainly desire your prayers. I'll never be a professional preacher, never be a professional teacher or reacher. Amen. Praise God. But I know through prayer we can do all things. So let's pray together. Jesus, we love you, lift you, and thank you. We praise you, honor you, and we worship you. And we ask you, Lord, tonight for your will to be done. We pray your presence this evening, and we pray the anointing, God, that even while we speak on one subject, that perhaps through the Holy Ghost you can move in another venue and heal somebody tonight. You could move in another venue, Lord, and you could lift someone from depression. Master, people can leave the house tonight with victory in their hearts just because of a simple topic and a word from God. And we pray, Lord, that you would, God, that you would bless our preaching, teaching, and our reaching. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. God bless you. You're seated just now. Thank you so much again for being in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Well, one thing that we need to comprehend and understand is that Jesus Christ is not just a refuge. He's not just a pavilion. Listen, he is all of that, and I would not dare take away from that. Amen. He is our strong tower. Amen. He's our pavilion. The righteous run into it and are safe. Amen. No matter what you're facing, what you're going through, if you can get to him, you can find safety. The point is that we carry him and we can take him to them. Amen. That's not my point tonight, but let me just say it anyway. When my wife and I walked into Michelle Thompson's room the other day, she just instantly started weeping. And she couldn't even speak. And she was in the hospital, connected to everything that was supposed to do her good. And she just couldn't even speak. And I know what that feels like. I know exactly what that is. For someone to step in and for someone to step up right on time, the very moment you were not expecting anything, and then all of a sudden God brings a ray of light into your life through someone else. And I felt that was happening to her. And that brought me great contentment. And the reason that it did is because I've had so many do that for me that I felt like I have got to give this to someone else in my life. Amen. And so we're talking about the subject of contentment, but what we've got to realize is that the Lord is not just a place of safety and a place of refuge and a place where I can hide from the mighty storm. But he is our point of reference. Amen. And what I'm saying here is, once we have found out that he's a refuge and that he is our sustenance and our substance and that he can keep us, what has got to dawn on us next is that he's our reference. In other words, he's a place, that place of safety that we can go out from. Not just go to and hide. Amen. But he's that place that we can go out from. We won't stray too far. We don't want to wander too far. But while we are away from him, that's when we do our work. That's when we do our stuff. That's when, if I can make the reference, that's where Beast Feast becomes a success. Because someone stepped away from the refuge and used him as a reference and went out. And there were people that were in need. And because they were in need, we were able to point back at the reference and explain to them that he's a refuge. Am I making any sense at all? There's another dimension that we must go in all of our ministries. And if you don't think you have a ministry, then your mindset is mixed up. Amen. I'm not calling anybody to preach. Amen. All you got to do is try to dig up 3 or 4 sermons a week for about 30 years and you'll find out what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm calling people to reach out to a world and a state that needs you so desperately. Amen. We can't hide. We can't just say, Jesus, you're my refuge, so cover my house, cover my family, wrap us up, and we'll show up at church. Somewhere, he's got to become a reference that we can go out and refer him to other people and bring them back to the refuge. Would you raise your hands and praise him with me for just a moment over that? Amen. Praise God. It was amazing to me. You know, I was on my way to see Brother Johnny Garrison one day, and I would try to go see him and encourage him, and he would wind up encouraging me every time. But I said, what do you want? He said, I want some barbecue. I said, good, I'm going to go by and get you some. And I went by and we got barbecue. We did that about twice, I think. And we had barbecue together. And the subject came up, and many of you have probably seen it when you go down 85, you're going toward Salisbury and all that, or Spencer and all that. And you look over to the right, and you can see where a man has parked a camper. Has anybody seen that? Wave at me. Look at you. All right. Okay. Now, I'm as guilty as some of you are, and so I'm going to ask this. How many of you stopped and knocked on his door? And I'm telling Brother Johnny Garrison this story, and I said, have you seen that camper over there where this guy is parked there and started living there? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I stopped by there one day, knocked on his door, and invited him to Landmark. I thought, what? And then I'm thinking, well, why not? Amen. And he said he did that and explained where the church was and all of that. Well, did the man ever come? That's not the question. Here's the question. Is he just a refuge to us, or is he also a reference? Amen. Can we get content in him and not so afraid of the world until we've got to attach to him? To the point that we just cannot walk away for a little while to do the work of God. Amen. Could we not have enough faith in him to know that what he has given us will sustain us in this world, and that it will keep us in this world, and that we can be so content with what God has given us until we've got enough left over to share with this world? Amen. Praise God. And so, you know, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Amen. He's got to be the center. Amen. He cannot be just a circumference. Amen. And so we need to make that decision. And I'll tell you why we need to make that decision. Am I doing okay? Amen. We need to make that decision because some decisions seem so menial. Be careful when you feel like a decision is so small that it doesn't matter. Small or insignificant, amen. However, as you move on after making those very small, insignificant decisions, you add all those small, insignificant choices and decisions together after a period of time. Together, they have the potential to become something very significant because they pile up and accumulate, and then they become life-altering and even affect your eternity. And so before you say, well, that's irrelevant, that's so tiny, that's so small, what's that got to do with anything? Amen. That might not have anything to do with anything. But when you add to that multitudes and multitudes of time, because don't tell me you're only going to make one decision in life. One decision is going to follow another after another after another. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, I know. We say, it's not heaven or hell. How do you know? Because you're not done making the decisions that follow that one and then the ones after that. I say if it's a negative decision, just cut it off right there and we will be all right in the future. Praise God. Somewhere in all of this, we got to figure out that we need to be content. We need to understand that we are blessed. Although we can ask for a blessing, if he never gave it to us, we would still be content. Amen. I love that. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. No, I'm not going to make any albums. I don't need that. Praise God. But isn't it the truth? There are people that I'm talking to that have learned how to make Jesus your joy, the center of your joy. People don't make your day. People don't make or break the party. Hello? But in whatever state we are in, therewith, we have learned to be content. Amen. And then how about the fact that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, 7 and 8. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that there will be no U-Haul behind the hearse on the way out. I thought I'd paraphrase that for you. Give it a little understanding. KCM version. Is it not the truth? And having food and raiment, let us therewith, let us be content. Let's be happy. Let's just be happy. Praise God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is enough. Hallelujah. So what state are you in? Amen. I humbly submit to this audience tonight that only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Learn that. Know that and act upon it. And you'll be a happy individual. We've got to run. Listen. And I may have told you this in the past, but let me tell you again. A noun is defined as a person, place, or thing, correct? Amen. It's a person, place, or thing. What we've got to do is run from the noun and get to the name. Amen. There's not a person, a place, or a thing that can bring contentment like the name. Take on His name. Love His name. Worship and praise His name, and put a face on that name. I don't care what Jesus looks like to you, but make Him look like something, because you need something other than a story. Amen. We need something other than just a person, place, or thing. We need a name on that person. We need to know Him. We need to worship Him and praise Him. He needs to become personal. Amen. There's not a person or a place or a thing that can bring contentment like the name. Amen. We got to say the name constantly. We got to love the name, and we've got to claim the name. There are some things we need to accomplish in our relationship with the Lord before we obtain contentment. And there's some obstacles that will keep you away from contentment. 2 Corinthians 6:17. I think I've got that. There we go. Wherefore, come out from among them. Let me just go ahead and say those that are that have no content, there's no contentment, they're discontented. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. How many of you will agree with me tonight without me having to go through a long theological spill through the scripture that knowing that He is all, and that He is everything, and that He can do anything, and that all we need to do is call on His name. How many of you will agree with me that to be discontent having all of that is wrong? Well, let me give you a Bible for it then. Ladies and gentlemen, at least give me a Methodist nod. I'm just telling you, amen, it is wrong not to have faith in the name of Jesus and not to be content therewith and not to be happy in the presence of the Lord. Man, I'm right on time tonight. Amen. It is wrong to sing the song and to be upset at half a dozen people and to be mad at a half a dozen people and to have a rotten spirit and a bad attitude. Hey, don't sing the song until you make the wrong right. Amen. The Bible said first, amen, go to the one that's offended and make it right. I'm telling you, we can offend God by not being content with what He has poured out upon us. Thank you. Amen. My wife will tell me tonight after service, you need to chill out because people are trying to hear you more than respond to you, because it is Bible study night, right? And then that's where I say, yes, ma'am. Praise God. Hallelujah. But 1 Timothy 6:6, I've got to say this. Godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. Not just looking the part. Not just dressing the part. That's very godly. And that's beautiful in the eyes of God. But godliness with contentment. In other words, doing it because it makes you happy. Doing it because it's right. Doing it because it's your relationship with God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And I'm just saying, I want some of you to gain weight. Amen. It's a spiritual weight. It's a spiritual place that you're one of the Lord's heavies. He can put things on you and you can deal with it. He can send you places and you can handle it. You can go through stuff and you can come out still content. Amen. So let's gain something here tonight with God. Not just godliness, but contentment. Because that's great gain. Amen. I want to stop and submit to you right now that there's another phase to your pursuit of contentment. Praise the Lord. We established the fact that a person, place, or thing can't give you godly contentment. And why should we let them take it away? If people, places, and things can't bring you the contentment that God can, then why should we let people, places, and things take it away? Amen. Praise God. And so here's where I play on the word state, the state of North Carolina. Be content in whatever state you're in. Amen. This is your state. You're not going to Georgia. I won't let you. You can't get to Georgia from here. You're not going to South Carolina, and there's nobody threatening to go to Georgia or South Carolina. Amen. Mississippi or anywhere else, you can go visit, and you can go see Grandfather Mountain, and you can go ride roller coasters, but get right back here, because you have learned that whatsoever state you're in North Carolina, so be happy. Woo! As that missionary would say, praise God. Amen. And so, you know, and the state of North Carolina, without realizing it, is dependent on someone's contentment with Jesus Christ. This state needs us. Amen. This city needs us. I can be in the same room with those that are not as serious about it as I am and still be content. I won't let that don't bother me. I can't let that bother me. Amen. Amen. They didn't give it to me, and they can't take it away. So when they're not giving it to you, don't forget. Don't forget the other half. Since they didn't give it to you, don't ever let them take it away. Because whatever and whoever takes away your joy from the Lord owns you. And nobody owns me except Jesus Christ. Praise God. The Lord's presence is not contingent on whether there is someone there that's compromising or not. His presence is there because somebody is content with His presence. Amen. If we get attitude and retaliate with remorse or discontentment and leave or shut down, His presence may go with it. That's not the state we need. We don't need to be in that kind of state. We can walk out or we can walk off because it's not them that we're abandoning. It's Him. Amen. Not everybody has to live for God to bring contentment. Just me. Not everybody around you has to live for God to bring you contentment. Just you. And if everyone felt that way, we wouldn't have to worry about anybody around us living for God. Am I right? Amen. Hallelujah. Not everybody has to dress holy. Just me. Not everybody has to dress holy. Just you. But I promise you, if you feel that way about yourself, others will catch on and do the very same thing. Amen. Praise God. No one can be saved for me. So can I say not everybody is going to be baptized in Jesus' name, but I am. And I got a feeling if I do, someone else is going to ask me why. And then I get to tell them why. Because it's part of Bible salvation. Amen. My contentment is in Him, not them. If I abandon my post because someone don't measure up, I have abandoned my state. Some people move to other states to find contentment. Amen. Be careful, because your state will go with you. If you're a person with mood swings and all of this, and we don't know what page you're on, and you're wondering why you don't have friends, it's because we don't know what page you're going to be on. We don't know if you're going to be happy, mad, sad, glad, bad. We don't know what you're going to. And so you're going to have to help us with this. Praise the Lord. So get contentment. And because people are looking for it. And you'll draw friends because they want to receive that from you. Amen. You know that it teaches us to, if we want friends, we got to be friendly, right? Amen. And so some people move to other states and find contentment. And if a person is rude and they've run out of people to be rude to and they move, and then all that rudeness goes with them. You don't shake stuff off because you're going to a different place. It doesn't work that way. Because this might blow your mind, but we're not your problem. You are. Because no one can do anything to me that I don't allow them to. Amen. I like the story goes about a man that was buying something and he was overcharged. It was clear that he was overcharged. And the person behind the counter, the way the story goes, years ago, that she was messing with him. She was just messing with him. She charged him like $5 over. And he said, thank you very much. She said, wait a minute. Don't you realize I charged you over? He said, yeah, but I wasn't going to let you in my head. It's not worth $5 to let anybody in your head. It's not worth the fact that somebody didn't call, or somebody didn't come, or somebody didn't show up, or somebody didn't say this or say that. It's not worth letting that in your head. Because a man's days are short. And that's all I'm going to say about that scripture. Praise the Lord. The rest of it says full of trouble, but I'm not going to say that. Praise the Lord. If it comes down to where we are one of the few, who cares? Amen. Our city and our state are dependent upon us. Praise the Lord. And so if it comes down to where we're one of the few, who cares? It just means He's content with us. And we're content with Him. And that's going to make a huge difference for the state that we're in. Amen. I'm just here to say this. Watch out, North Carolina, because here we come. Amen. And those that have turned other areas in the world upside down, they have come here also. I've got scripture for that. Amen. And I want us to do that. I want us to turn our world upside down with what God's doing. Let's stand together, shall we? Praise God. Hallelujah. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. Praise God. And I don't want anything to cause us to abandon that. I don't want to abandon my post. I don't want to go to another state. Amen. Because the state I'm in... I can live in that state, whether I'm in prison, in jail, whether I'm the poorest person in here tonight, or whether I'm struggling with sickness. I can live in this state that I'm teaching about tonight, regardless of all of that. Can I tell you a little bit about Old Testament prisons? In Old Testament prisons, you got to understand that there could be hundreds of people in prison, and there was no sewer. There's no modern day sewage. And a lot of that was just, it was just ditched. It wasn't piped. It was just ditched. And gravity had its way with it. Jeremiah was put in the portion of the prison where most of that wound up. And even there, he said, it feels like fire shut up in my bones.
Thank you, Jesus.
What are you going to do with somebody like that?
Oh, God.
Better than that, what is God going to do with somebody like that? I can tell you what he did with a couple of folks like that. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were chained together. They'd already been beaten. Blood was running down their backs. And they were chained together and cast into one of those prisons. And around midnight, they began to sing. And this is what God did with that. He sent an angel, and their chains dropped off. The jail doors opened up. They wound up baptizing folks. They wound up praying with folks. They wound up in a red hot revival with folks. That's what God does with contentment in no matter what state you're in. That's how he operates. So instead of saying, God, where are you and why am I in this shape? I'm almost mad with you now. No. Why don't you just find your contentment? And let's see where God takes all this. And watch the eyes that open up and look like deer in the headlights when you share the truth with them of where God has brought you and what God has brought you through and how God has helped you. It's contentment in no matter what state you're in. I got to tell you this story. A father in Arkansas saw us on Facebook, and he called his son in Lexington, North Carolina, and told him to come to Landmark. And he did. Why would the Lord do that? Why would he orchestrate that? Because this place is still a place of great contentment and godliness and righteousness. And this is where God wants them to be. And this is where God wants me to be. And this is where God wants you to be. And that whatever state you're in while you're here, godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. So I want North Carolina to become the state of contentment, because the seed was born and the seed was planted right here in Landmark, and it went everywhere. Praise God. Could we just lift our hands and praise the Lord for his word tonight?
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Could we praise him for the place he's taking us this evening?
All that's good and perfect comes from you.
Could we praise him for where he wants us to be?
You're the heart of my contentment.
Oh.
Hope for all I do.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment. Hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Every personality. All of your history, where you're from has everything to do with it. Who you are, the parents you were born to. The Lord used all of that to shape you and to make you. He didn't make a mistake with you. You are perfectly what He intended you to be for the hour that you and I live tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've just got to make Him our contentment. We've just got to learn to make Him everything. Hallelujah.
Yes. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you.
Clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise God. Landmark, I love you. I do. I'm telling you right now, I love you. Amen. I would die. When I think of dying for something, I think of Kenneth Harrison every time. And because he would always tell me after service, he says, Pastor Marshburn, I love you. I would die for you. And I believe that. And I love this church. I would die for this church. Great things are coming out of this church. We're no better than anyone else. We're nothing special. That's why it means so much the more to me when God does what He does. Because we are nothing special. Amen. We're not bigger. We're not deeper. We're not greater. We're not more spiritual. Amen. That we're just chosen. And I think a large part of it is because He is our joy and He is our contentment. In other words, we're not up to something. We don't want a big church so we can tell everybody we got a big church. We're not, you know what I'm saying? Amen. We just don't do things because we want to be greater, bigger, yada, yada. It's every one of us understand we're all on the very same page about it and that we're doing everything we do for the glory of God. And He knows it. And so He knows what we're up to. And because of that, we know what He's up to. And we want to make Him our complete contentment. I'm happy with the Lord. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake hands, be friendly, greet one another. Say hello to somebody you haven't said hello to in a long time. Mm-hmm.